fourth case scheduled for today, Avnet against Tyndale House Publishers Incorporated, has been dismissed under Federal Rule of Appellate Procedure 42B. The court will therefore go to the fifth case of this morning, which is number 04-1389, which is number 03-3812, New Process Steel against PHGR Incorporated and St. Lawrence Hydraulics Incorporated.
Good morning, Your Honors. May I proceed?
Yes, please, Mr. Obear.
May it please the Court, my name is Sheldon Ritchie and I represent New Process Steel. I'm here with Mr. Shakota and Ms. Knepper, also representing New Process Steel. This case comes before this Court today because the trial judge granted a motion filed by St. Lawrence Press for dismissal based upon lack of personal jurisdiction of St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence is a Michigan corporation. New Process Steel asserted and asserts that St. Lawrence Press was contracting to do business in Illinois through its apparent agent, PH Group. This court in Nelson versus Park Industries, which is cited in our brief at 717, not cited in the brief at 717, but the site is 717 Fed 2nd 1120, stated that in a case where the court is looking at a motion to dismiss for personal jurisdiction and there's no evidentiary hearing, as we have here, that the burden of proof rests on the party asserting jurisdiction, but if the district's court decision is based on the submission of written materials, which it is here, the burden of proof is met by a prima facie showing that personal jurisdiction is conferred under the relevant jurisdiction statute. Further, the party asserting jurisdiction is entitled to the resolution in its favor of all disputes concerning the relevant facts presented in the record. So the question here for the court is, did New Process Steel bring forth sufficient evidence for the trial court to show that St. Lawrence, through its acts or conduct, created a reasonable impression for New Process that PH Group acted for St. Lawrence? The trial court adopted the appellee's, the defendant's, definition of the law. And the court, in its ruling on October 7, 2002, said, nowhere does plaintiff allege that it actually communicated with anyone at St. Lawrence. That's not the law. The law in Illinois is that the apparent authority can be established when a principal, St. Lawrence in this case, creates a reasonable impression through his words or conduct, not that there has to be a direct contact with that principal, but that that principal did something that would cause a reasonable person to believe that the party claimed to have authority acted with authority. In this case, here's what St. Lawrence did. First, in 1994, 3 years before the event giving rise to this lawsuit, St. Lawrence, which was a noted manufacturer of hydraulic presses, contracted with New Process to supply a press in Texas. In 1997, when New Process wanted another press for its facility here in Alsip, Illinois, it went back to St. Lawrence and it requested a quotation. And it contacted St. Lawrence at the same address that it had contacted St. Lawrence in 1994. It contacted, in its belief, the same St. Lawrence that sold it the press. In April of 1997, St. Lawrence and PH Group entered into a contract. And St. Lawrence is a privately held company, so there's no public filings. And PH Group was a privately held company, no public filings. They enter into an agreement for what they call an asset purchase or an asset sale. And the assets of PH are transferred to St. Lawrence. And those assets include the St. Lawrence name, which in the contract they admit has significant value and is part of the goodwill. The right to stay at the same address, the right to use the same schematic drawings, the delivery to St. Lawrence of the letterhead, I mean to PH, of St. Lawrence's letterhead, the same letterhead New Process had seen in 1994. They don't tell New Process, but they name New Process in the contract as a traditional customer. So we've got same address, same letterhead, same schematics, and they named New Process as a traditional customer. They knew New Process had a pending request for a quote, and they chose not to inform New Process of the sale.
What was the thought about who PH Group was?
What was the thought?
Yeah, I mean, this impressed or implied agency, when it signed the letter, like St. Lawrence Press, a division of PH Group.
Your Honor, this goes back to
incite some curiosity about who PH Group is.
Well, let me respond to it this way, if I may. If I can find this.
Incidentally, PH Group is a limited partnership, isn't it?
Well, I think the question is what it was, Your Honor.
Yeah, I guess at some point I want you to tell me where the partners are from.
The partners are in PH Group?
Mm-hmm.
From Ohio. And there was no contest about the jurisdiction as to PH Group.
As far as the diversity or whatever?
For diversity or for the contest.
Well, that should be recited in your jurisdictional statement.
It is.
Well, it's not.
It's not?
No, it only says that something about a Delaware partnership, principal place of business in Houston?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're asking about New Process. Now, New Process is a Delaware partnership with its principal place of business in Houston.
And where do the partners live?
In Houston.
All of the partners?
Well, one of them's in Delaware.
You got to recite that in your, and you probably should supplement something to the record, just so there is some determination that this is on the record diversity. I mean, one of them could have been from Ohio or Illinois.
Your Honor, just so I'm clear what you're asking me, are you asking me to put in the rest of the supplement who New Process is? Or
no, just so we're sure that you assert that neither or none of the partners are from one of the states whether St. Lawrence and whatever the other one is or was. You have to have diversity, in other words.
Yes.
And so none of the partners can be from those states.
They are not.
We just want to put that in the record.
Well, may we have permission to supplement the record to allege that, Your Honor. I think maybe I misunderstood your question also.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Judge Mannion. No, not at all. I thought you were asking me who did New Process believe PH to be.
Yeah, I did that, and then it reminded me I didn't answer the other question.
I'm not quite sure what the protocol here is. I'd like to hand the court the quotation that came. It's part of the record, but I would like to, while we're discussing it, to have you look at it with me. The June 13th, 1997 quotation from, we say, St. Lawrence Press, Inc. May I approach the bench?
Opposing counsel, seems.
I think you said it's part of the record.
It is. I think we've already seen it in the record.
All right. Well, I thought it might help the court to actually have it.
Well, I think if you'll just leave that with the clerk, we'll look at it after all our argument.
It's in your appendix, isn't it?
It is in your appendix. I've looked at it.
It is part of the record.
If it's in your appendix, just say where it is. If you don't know, don't.
Oh, it's. Maybe Mr. Knepper could find it while I'm doing.
Go ahead.
If that's all right with the court. The quotation that came in June, 6 weeks after this asset sale, says at the top, St. Lawrence Press, Inc. St. Lawrence Press, Inc. This letterhead was handed to PH Group by St. Lawrence to use. And in fact, in the asset purchase agreement, St. Lawrence retained an interest in the income stream from sales that PH would make to parties, including New Process, using the St. Lawrence schematics, and PH evidently utilized this letterhead to copy the terms, or to quote the terms to New Process for the sale of this press in Illinois. So you have the acts of St. Lawrence cloaking PH with the apparent authority, in New Process reasonably believing that and relying on it, based upon their prior history with St. Lawrence. The fact that they've got a quotation from St. Lawrence Press, Inc. And one of the things that I think you will hear my opponent say is, well, it's signed and it says at the end, it says in it, St. Lawrence Press, a division of PH Group. Well, the problem with that is this is a case where there's no testimony taken of my client, of New Process. There is no statement made with respect to what they thought that statement of division meant, or that they even looked at it. The affidavit of Bob Proach, chief operating officer, says they believed they were dealing with St. Lawrence. We've shown that the reason they believe it is because they got a quote that says it's the St. Lawrence Press, Inc. Well, a division would never be a separate company. You could have General Motors Corporation, Buick Division, but the Buick Division is not a separate entity. And so the acts of St. Lawrence give, and the history of the relationship between St. Lawrence and New Process created a reasonable impression at New Process that PH Group was the agent acting on behalf of St. Lawrence, and this was a St. Lawrence quote. I'll reserve the rest of my time for a rebuttal.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, my name is Patrick Cruz. I'm here on behalf of St. Lawrence Hydraulics, which is the name of the company after the asset purchase agreement that Mr. Ritchie was just discussing. It seems to me that this is a case where a very simple issue and a very simple set of facts have been made very unnecessarily complicated, and the trial court found a very simple and appropriate way to deal with it. Mr. Ritchie made the comment a moment ago that the relationship or the law is that it's not whether or not there was communication from St. Lawrence Hydraulics to New Process. It's whether or not there was conduct on which they could rely. That's only partly true. It is that there has to be conduct, words or conduct, but those words or conduct must be directed by the alleged principal to the plaintiff who claims that they were relying on the agent. And the judge in the trial court, Judge Moran, dealt with that issue by saying any agency relationship must be based on the conduct of St. Lawrence. And I think he was very careful with the word that he chose because that was the argument that they made in their motion for reconsideration. Judge Moran, you misunderstood the law that it was a matter of whether or not there was direct communication, and as a matter of fact, there was some conduct on which we can rely. And Judge Moran went back and looked at it again and said, no, there isn't even any conduct here. And the reason for that is that this quotation and the order confirmation and everything else that they were aware of at the time that they bought the second press for the Illinois facility, all that evidence came from PH Group. There's no dispute about that. It came from the St. Lawrence division of PH Group. And the way that you get to that conclusion, and I think that the district court got this exactly right, is you look back to what was actually going on, the factual backdrop of this case. In April of 1997, before any of the Illinois-related events were happening, there was an asset purchase agreement in which St. Lawrence sold substantially all of its assets, everything necessary to run the business, to PH Group. PH Group got the building. Well, they didn't get, they ultimately got the building, but they got the, they leased the premises at first, but they got all of the equipment, all of the necessary assets to run the business that St. Lawrence Press Company, Inc. was running at that time in 1997. St. Lawrence Press even sold them the name St. Lawrence Press, all the goodwill with that name, and the name St. Lawrence Press Company, Inc. All that was transferred to PH Group. All that St. Lawrence Hydraulics, which is what they changed their name to, retained was some work in process and some accounts receivable. They stopped making presses, they stopped selling presses, and there's absolutely not a shred of evidence that they ever sold a press in Illinois. So as of April of 1997, PH Group emerged from this acquisition transaction as a separate entity, PH Group, Inc., in which there are at least three divisions that I am aware of from their letterhead, the St. Lawrence Division, the True Blood Division, and the PH Hydraulic Division. And the asset purchase agreement specifically called out in Section 11.4 of the asset purchase agreement that there was no agency, no partnership, and no joint venture being created. It also stated that after the transaction closed, all post-asset purchase liabilities in connection with the operation of the what was formerly the St. Lawrence Press business was transferred to PH Group. So this entire case is about a plaintiff that wants to get into court and get around that. St. Lawrence Press, which changed its name to St. Lawrence Hydraulics, was winding up, wasn't doing any business, and it didn't have anything to do with this deal. And if you look at the timeline, you can see that the closing on the asset purchase happened in April of 1997. This quotation, which is signed by Mark Pugh as the general manager of the St. Lawrence Press division of PH Group, came out in June of 1997. There was separately, later on, an order confirmation on which they relied that came in January of 1998. The press was delivered in August of 1998. So the documents that they're relying on all came into existence after PH Group took over the business. So the crucial point for the district court here was there's nothing in the conduct of the alleged principal directed at the plaintiff that establishes a basis for the plaintiff to rely on that conduct as the basis for finding apparent authority.
Does it have to be directed at the plaintiff here or just simply at customers in general? Arguably, your client took action which was aimed at the customers of the purchaser corporation, and you had an interest in it. You had an interest in seeing that purchaser corporation did well.
Well, I think that it's not entirely clear to me that there was an interest in it as a practical matter. I don't know that fact. But in response to your first question, I think that the case law, the way the case law comes down is that the conduct needs to be directed at the plaintiff. That the plaintiff has to be able to establish a basis for reasonable reliance, and that's just not what's happening in this case. What's happening in this case is the plaintiff is trying to back into an agency relationship based on information that it got from the agent, not information that it got from the alleged principal. The other evidence that they deal with in their brief, besides the quote and the order confirmation, goes to the asset purchase agreement. It goes to whether or not there was participation in the design. It goes to whether or not there was a financial interest, as Your Honor just mentioned. And all of those things can't form the basis for an apparent agency because they weren't apparent to the plaintiff at the time that the sale transaction was occurring. I guess the way I understand what the plaintiff is advocating here is sort of a totality of circumstances test. Let's look at the totality of the circumstances and decide whether somebody might be able to rely on all this information to decide whether or not there was apparent authority. And I just don't think that that's what the law says. The law says that there has to be words or conduct directed at the plaintiff on which the plaintiff relies for the purpose of the creation of the apparent authority. Unless the court has further questions, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You have 30 seconds, sir. We'll make that one full minute.
I'll go quickly, obviously, in 30 seconds. The letterhead was in existence before the acquisition. It was handed to PH by St. Lawrence. St. Lawrence testified, Mr. Keating testified, and it's in the record. They later, he thought this would cause confusion. They later stopped St. Lawrence from using the letterhead in that way. The case law, the court's question about who it has to be directed at, in the case of Mateka versus Schroeder, 152nd Illinois, APP 3rd, 854, the court said, where the principal place an agent in a situation where he may be presumed to have authority to act for them, the principals are stopped as against third persons from denying the agent's apparent authority. That's what we have here. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Counsel, we will be issuing an order to confirm our direction from the bench that you supply us with the names and citizenship of each of the partners of due process deal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.